Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 25. Now, as I explained in the previous discourse, I really should have included these three verses in what was said at that time. But I deliberately left it to a separate discourse because of the vital importance of this paragraph. Let me say why it is vitally important. It assumes this importance because, I am afraid to say, there has been a gross mistranslation of Paul's actual words here. Let me start with the Authorized Version or the King James Version. I'll read the King James Version of these three verses, verses 23 to 25. Let me say now that this probably will seem a very technical discourse, and it is in a way, but there is a vital point beneath it, so I hope you will try to follow what I say. The arguments I give here I develop more fully in my two books I've mentioned, Christ is All and Sanctification in Galatians. First of all then, the King James Version, the Authorized Version, verse 23. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And people reading this have drawn this conclusion. The words seem to be saying this very plainly. God brought the law in through Moses, yes. And the law is over us, all, Gentile and Jew, were kept under the law. And in our personal experience, we're under the law. We're shut up. But it's the law is locking us, shutting us up, closing off every avenue of escape, and bringing us to one avenue of escape only, faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, the law not only blocks off every other escape route, verse 24, the law is our schoolmaster. It goes on instructing us, teaching us. And indeed, more than that, it takes us by the hand and it brings us unto Christ, verse 24, that we might be justified by faith, and so on. And so, Puritans, Calvinists, Calvin, many people today preach that what we must do, when they teach, what we must do, they say, is preach the law to people, because the law will instruct them, it will teach them, it will bring them, it will convict them, it will prepare them, that's the word they would use, for Christ and bring them to Christ. And they think that Galatians 3, 23, 24 and 25 is all to do with this personal experience of conviction of sin by the law training us, disciplining us, teaching us, instructing us, opening our hearts and minds to Christ. The law prepares us for Christ. This is called preparationism. And preachers should preach the law. If we don't preach the law, then the cross, as has been said by these people, the cross is just a sentimental story and meaningless. We take them to Moses and the law first, sinners, and then we bring them to Christ. What do I say about that? Well, with respect, that is utter nonsense. The text doesn't say anything like that at all. It's a gross insertion into the text. If you look at your Authorized Version, my friend, depending on what copy you've got of it, do you notice that verse 24 has got "to bring us" in italics? That doesn't mean emphasis. That means those words are not in Paul's original Greek. It means that the translators, trying to be helpful, inserted those words. Of course, when the translators did it, they had Calvin's view about preparationism by the law and so on firmly in their minds. Whether that influenced them, I don't know. But they inserted to bring us. Paul said nothing, nothing of the sort. That's an insertion. There is no bringing us at all here. The word is until. That is what Paul actually said. Now the NIV gets closer. The Authorized is a bad translation, and this is not the only aspect of it. There's other aspects of the translation which I shall say in a moment, point out in a moment. The New King James has followed it, and many other versions have gone along that line. Now the NIV improved on it. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith, and so on. Now it's still kept there to lead us to Christ. Instead of bring us, it had lead us. But it's got a footnote. And the footnote is the right thing that they should have inserted. Put in charge until Christ came. The ESV has got it right. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came. Now let me get to the text now. Paul is not speaking of the personal experience here at all. All he is doing, I say all, but all he is doing is concluding the previous section. And what is that? There are two epochs, he said, law and promise. God gave the promise to Abraham. 430 years later, he gave the law to Israel through Moses for a specific purpose. He gave that law to Israel through Moses to last until the coming of the seed. Remember how Paul has labored seed and seed, seed. The seed is Christ. But with the coming of Christ, that is his death and resurrection and ascension, with the pouring out of the Spirit, the age of the law ceased. So we have promise up to the time of the law, as it were. Then we have the promise and the law running parallel. And then the law ceases and the promise goes on. We are now in the full age of the promise, the gospel. Paul is not talking personally. He's talking of epochs. Secondly, the us here is Israel. Gentiles were never under the law. The law was given to Israel. I have not dealt with any other nation, says God, like this, to give them my law. To them belong the oracles of God. Schoolmaster. That's used a lot here. That gives the impression of instruction. Now, I was a schoolmaster for several years. I taught mathematics. Right, I was a schoolmaster. Well, I had discipline questions to see to and so on, but my main employment, what I was paid for, was to instruct my scholars in mathematics. I was a teacher. Now, Paul's word is pedagogue, and I was a pedagogue. I was a pedagogue of mathematics. Unfortunately, the word pedagogue has changed its meaning since Paul's day. Pedagogue now means instruction. So the Authorized Version and these other versions are giving the impression that the law was there as an instructor. Paul did not use that word at all. Did you notice that the ESV used guardian? Guardian is very good, but actually I would use a better word, a better phrase than that. Child custodian. It's based on the idea of the Roman. The rich man had a son, and he wanted his son brought up, disciplined, and made a decent man, and so a mature man. And so he employed a slave to walk around with the boy while he was still underage, a minor, to walk around with him with a stick. And when the boy put a foot wrong, he clout him. But of course, when the boy became a man, he didn't need the pedagogue, the custodian, the guardian. There's no idea of instruction here. It's clout. It's hit. It's prison. The boy would have said, I hate this guardian chap. I don't like him at all. He stops me having fun. The law had punishment and curse. If you don't believe me, read the curses in the Old Covenant, my friend. People talk about the law. They all read the curses. There's plenty of them. And what is Paul saying here? Before the gospel came, before this faith, before the gospel, now he's talking about the faith here. He's not talking about my personal faith. We, the Jews, were held prisoners by the law. We were locked in the law. Now, all of us were under sin. He said that before. But the Jews in particular were locked up under the law, locked up until faith, the gospel. He's talking about the faith again. He's not talking about their faith. He's talking about the gospel, until the gospel should be revealed. So the law was put in charge. It was put as a pedagogue, as a hitter for the Jews, until the coming of Christ. Not to lead them to Christ, but until the time of Christ. Of course the law had instructions in it, but that's not his main purpose here. Paul's main point here is the law was a guardian for the Jews until the coming of the Christ. And of course he has come now, fulfilled the law, ended the law, made the law obsolete, and so the law's age is over. And now is the age of the gospel. And now we can be justified by faith. Jews, Gentiles. How do we get that? Let's go back to verse 22. It's given through faith in Jesus Christ. It's given to those who believe. If we trust Christ, we are justified. Why the law then? What was the purpose of the law? It was a guardian, a custodian. It was a child custodian. That's the point. For the Jews. And it was in place until the coming of the seed, the Christ. Now that faith, now that the gospel has come, that's what he's talking about here. Nobody, the Jews, nobody is under the supervision of the law. Because the law, in a sense, does not exist now as a covenant. It's there in the records as an illustration and part of Scripture, of course. And it's used by the apostles. I said yesterday he used the law in three places. He actually uses the law many times, but the Ten Commandments he uses in three places. But the whole point here is these two epochs. And we, as Gentiles, never were under the law. But now nobody, if you like, is under the law. We're either under damnation and condemnation, or we're in Christ. That is the point of this meaning. The point of this passage. It's a very technical point, my friend, I know. And I wouldn't labour it so much, but the gross misunderstanding has led to what? Well, to all this preparationism. Now, my books explain it more. The damage caused by preparationism for unbelievers is indescribable. And for believers, it brings lack of assurance. For believers, I know what I'm saying. Read my books to see my arguments. The preparation argument is quite forth. There's no preparation for Christ. All the fitness he requires, said Joseph Hart, is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising being. Preacher, do you want to bring sinners under conviction of sin? Of course you do. What should you preach? Law? I say not. What? Preach Christ. Yes, I say preach Christ. And tell them what Christ said. Your greatest sin, my hearer, is what? Refusing Christ. This is the condemning sin. Not that you've committed adultery, not that you've committed drunkenness. That's bad. I'm not saying it's good. Telling lies, that's bad. But the great sin is what? You have refused Christ. You will not come to me, he says. All day long I have stretched out my hands to you. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you, but you would not. Sin, John 3, read it and see. Unbelief. Refusal of Christ. See that you refuse not him who speaks. This is the convicting sin. You've turned down love. You've turned away. You've turned aside the best offer you ever had. Unbeliever, that is your sin, your cardinal sin. You may be a drug addict. You may be a respectable man. You may be religious. You may be a preacher. But you, outside of Christ, you know what your greatest sin is? You may be a fornicator. Do you know what your greatest sin is? You may blaspheme and swear. You may look at pornography. That's all sins. I quite agree. But you know what your greatest sin is? You will not have Christ. This is the condemnation, that they have not believed. Christ offers you the forgiveness of all your sins. Receive me as Savior and Lord, he says. Turn from yourself. Turn from your sins. Turn to me and I will save you. Come to me and you won't come. You have refused the greatest, fullest offer that could ever be made to you. You've done it again and again, no doubt. Maybe you're even doing it now, but maybe this technical academic discourse has awakened you. I'm no longer under law. I never was under law. My only way to God is by faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I come. Thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. This is the preparation for Christ. There is no preparation for Christ. Come to Christ. He stands willing, able to save you. Come and welcome to Jesus. Believer, read this passage again. If you can read it in the Greek, do so. But read it in a good version. Understand what the Greek is saying. Understand what Paul is saying. It's not a technical point only. This is the age of grace and gospel. The age of law for the Jews is over. Christ has come under the law. The law was given for transgression's sake. It made the sin worse and so on. Christ has come and brought in full and free and gracious forgiveness. Oh, preacher, Mr. Preacher, preach Christ for sinner and for saint. Preach Christ for all, for Christ is all. But before I close, let me deal with an objection. Oh no, says the objector, this is quite wrong. Because remember, Jesus preached the law to the rich young ruler. And there are other examples too, where men preach the law to bring sinners under conviction. So you must be wrong. The law is the preparer for Christ. What is my answer to that? Of course Christ used the law when dealing with Jews. Of course the law can be used to men who are under the law. But show me in the Bible where any preacher prepared any Gentile sinner for Christ by preaching the law. You can write to me. You have my email through this website. Please write to me and show me. Because if I'm wrong, I want to be put right. But I know of no instance in Scripture where any Gentile sinner was brought to Christ because the preacher preached law to him. So I say again, whenever I preach, whatever I preach, whoever I preach to, I am determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.